Now, by the way, what do most people do when they find that they've got problems in their relationships? And by the way, the problems in their relationships always come down to one thing. Whenever they think of this person, now they get angry. They're frustrated with them. They're not doing what they want. They have all these negative associations to this person. Invariably, if somebody cheats on their husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, it's because right now the states they used to get when the relationship were brand new, those wonderful states, they're not getting them anymore. They're getting negative states. And they go to somebody new who's got fresh anchors. There's nothing negative associated to them yet. And so what a lot of people try and do to solve their relationship challenges is just go from one to another. That's like a person who changes jobs every time things don't work out. The problem with this strategy is when you leave this relationship you're in right now to go to a new one, you're going to have a problem. You're going to take you with you. And when you take you with you, some of the same challenges are going to come up. You've got to learn to resolve them within yourself and create a way of relating with somebody that enhances the level of intimacy on a daily basis. That's the only way a relationship will work, no matter who you're in a relationship with. The second thing that destroys relationships is failing to consistently meet the strategy of love and attraction that your partner has. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that every single person in this world has unique triggers or anchors that cause them to feel love and or attraction. And in the beginning of a relationship, we tend to do everything we can to please another human being. So we tend to tap all these strategies. We tend to do the things that cause them to feel attracted and loved by us. But again, as time goes on in a relationship, when we're outside the what I call the courting stage, you know, that initial stage where there's incredible intensity and power and you don't even seem to have to work at it at all. But when you leave that initial stage, you still love the person, but do you still have the same intensity of focus on the relationship? For most people, the answer is no. What happens, they still love the person, but they don't express it the same way. In other words, when you're courting, what do? You show the person you love them by taking them places, buying them things, looking at them with a starry-eyed look on your face. You also tell them how much you love them. You tell them all kinds of ways, as many different ways as you can, and you touch them everywhere. Now, those are three ways for someone to know that they're loved. And what's interesting is, my research in relationships has shown over and over again that human beings, all of us, have a specific set of triggers that cause us to feel deep feelings of love. And it's different for all of us. In other words, some of us in life, in order to feel deeply loved, need to be shown that we're loved. We need people to buy us things or take us places or look at us with a certain incredible loving look. And there's nothing, nothing in this world that creates a deeper feeling of love than that strategy, let's say. For other people, you can show them all day long that you love them. You can buy them things, you can stare them in the face and give them these wonderful looks, but that doesn't mean anything. They'll say, that's nice. What they want to do is they want to hear it. They need to hear you say, I love you, with a certain tonality and a certain tempo and a certain way. And unless you say it, it's not going to work. For other people, you can tell them you love them all day long. Look, yeah, that's nice. You can show them. But unless you touch them in a very specific way, they'll never feel the deepest level of love. They may feel like you love them generally. They may feel like, you know, you're real close to them. But the deepest feeling of love is triggered differently for every person you're going to meet. And by the way, human beings are not unique in this area. Animals have triggers as well. Researchers have studied for years what triggers specific animals to have a loving response to each other, to human beings, etc. For example, female turkeys are one of the most mothering animals in the animal kingdom. They're more attentive and loving with their young than most species. Now, what's interesting is researchers wanted to find out what triggers this loving response. Their assumption was it was seeing their baby turkey that would make them have this mothering instinct. But when they tested this research, they found out seeing the baby turkeys did not trigger it. They next assumed, well, it must be the touch of the baby turkey against its mother. They found out that was not true. And they thought, well, it must be the smell. Again, it wasn't the smell. They found that what triggers a mother turkey to have this mothering response for its young is the sound that a baby turkey makes. That simple little cheep, cheep sound. In fact, this is such a powerful trigger or anchor or strategy for the turkey that you can take a stuffed polecat. Now, bear in mind, in the wild, a polecat is a turkey's arch enemy. But take a stuffed polecat on a string. Pull it towards a turkey, and a turkey will tear it to shreds. If you take a stuffed polecat, however, and you put inside of it a little tape recorder of the sound of a baby turkey saying, cheep, cheep, the mother turkey will begin to mother the stuffed polecat. That is why they call them turkeys. No, I'm just kidding. The reality is, though, that they're not the only animals in the animal kingdom that have this kind of response. Insects even have specific triggers that cause them to mate, for example. So it's not unique for human beings to have a specific trigger for love. What is unique is for you to be aware of it and for you to utilize this to enhance your relationship. Let me ask you a question. You remember we said in the beginning of a relationship, in the stage called courting, what did you do to let this person know you love them? You did everything. Remember, you showed them, you told them, you touched them everywhere. But as time went by, you still love them, but did you really still do it all? And the answer for most people is no. Whose love strategy did you express your love to this person in? In other words, did you find out what makes them feel loved, or did you assume that they feel loved the same way you do, that it's triggered in the same way? And the answer for most people is the latter. So what happens? Well, in the beginning relationship, you do it all, so you both make each other feel loved. Law of averages says you covered all bases. Let's say, for example, you have a visual love strategy. So how are you going to probably try and express love to the person you're in a relationship with? You're going to want to show them the same way you get it, right? So you're going to probably buy them some nice things, take them places. You're looking at them in a real loving way, assuming this person feels totally loved by you. One day this person's going to turn to you and say, you know, honey, I just got to tell you, I just don't feel deeply loved by you. And you're going to say, what? What are you talking about? I take you every place. Look at that ring on your finger. If that ain't love, what is? And they're going to say, yeah, but you never say you love me. Oh, well, big deal. I show you. Yeah, but I need to hear it. Fine. I love you. I doubt seriously if that's going to be the perfect tonality that they need to hear in order to feel loved. See, they don't just even hear the words. They got to hear the right tonality as well. It's a very specific trigger and unique for everyone. Now, let's take the other option. Let's say you have an auditory love strategy, and so you try and express to your lover, boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other that you love them. How are you going to do it? You got to tell them. One day you're going to turn to them with the most loving tone of voice and say, I love you so much. What happens? Let's say this person has a visual love strategy. They're going to go, yeah, talk's cheap. Why don't you buy me something? Take me someplace. Look at me. Don't go, view. Look at me. You're going to go, well, I am looking at you. Yeah, but look at me the way it used to. Well, how's that look? Well, you know how. You should know how it looks. There's this lack of rapport. Or how about if you get a situation where, let's say you've got an auditory love strategy and the person you're with has a kinesthetic one. You're going to say, I love you, but that's not going to do it. This person needs to be touched in a certain way. Or the most challenging love strategy combination of all for a relationship is when you got, for example, a man who's very kinesthetic or feeling-oriented. What does he want? He comes home. What does he want to do? He wants to hug. Hi, honey. And he wants to touch and hold you in a certain way. And let's say you are a visual love strategy and you go, leave me alone. Quit grabbing at me. What do you think? I'm a piece of meat? Take me someplace. That's the kind of relationship that creates a major challenge. The point is, if you want your relationship to last, you got to do two things. The first key then to succeeding here is knowing what the strategy is of the person you're in a relationship with. Find out from this person what makes you feel most love. Don't ask them what they like. They like everything. They want to be shown. They want to be told. They want to be touched. But say to the person, ask the person you're in a relationship with this question. Say, can you remember a time when you felt most loved by me? So really get them to search their memory for a time when they felt deeply loved by you. And then what your job is to use the process of elimination and one by one to find out which one of these three is strongest for the person you're in a relationship with. And the way you do that is not ask them again, do they want these three things? They want all three. Well, your job is once they're in state where they can remember a time when they felt really loved by you, ask them, in order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary that I show you I love you by buying you things, taking you places, or looking you a certain way? Notice the key words here. In order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary? Not is it important? Is it absolutely necessary that I show you that I love you in a certain way by buying you things, taking you to certain places, or looking you a certain way? Now, the person goes, well, yeah, that's clearly not it. So say, well, remember that time when you felt totally deeply loved? And make sure they really get back in that same state of mind. They go, yeah. Say, in order for you to feel these deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary that I tell you I love you in a certain way? Is that absolutely necessary for you to feel the deepest feelings of love? And they say, well, yeah, that sounds closer, but it doesn't sound like it's it. So then again, put him back in state. Remember how you feel when you really feel deeply loved by me? Oh, yeah. Great. In order for you to feel those deep feelings of love, is it absolutely necessary I touch you in a certain way? Is that absolutely necessary for you to feel totally loved? Well, yeah. By the change of tonality or the nod of the head or by the physical response, you'll find out which one it is. In this case, it would be touch. And then you find out the specific touch. Because is it possible that the person you're in a relationship with needs to be touched to feel loved in a certain way? Like, for example, maybe you reach out and grab them tight because you assume that makes them feel loved. When really what would make them feel more loved is a gentle touch of their right cheek or the touch on the back of their neck or a real light hug. See, you want to find out what the needs of your partner are. Hey, if you want to succeed in a relationship, you got to have deep caring, which means you got to find out what does this person really want. You've got to communicate every single day about what's really going on with each other and ways to support each other. And you've got to commit to do whatever it takes to make the relationship work. Strategies are part of that commitment, and they're a lot of fun. Because once you know your partner's strategy, it means you'll be able to trigger them to feel the deepest feeling of love anytime you please. That's pretty exciting. You no longer have to hope you can get through to them. You'll know their trigger. You'll know how to reach them at the deepest emotional level, how to trigger them to feel the love that they really deserve from you. So these are the two things that destroy your relationships. Negative anchors, the failure to pay attention to the states that are getting linked to your relationship, and or failure to continue to meet each other's strategies. And by the way, the same thing is true of attraction strategies. Maybe in the beginning of the relationship, when you're really attracted to each other, you always dressed up or you went out for dates. If you want this relationship to last, you got to continually do that. You got to surprise each other. You got to trigger those same desires in each other on an ongoing basis. You got to stay out of the law of familiarity trap.